Boker Tov. Boker Tov. Yes. Today we're going to be learning the Tanya. We're middle of chapter number 13 in the Tanya. And I'd like to dedicate today's lesson in honor of Chana Bas Dveida Lea, whose birthday it is today. My daughter turned 4 years old. And she had a year of success. My daughter turned 4 years old. That makes her only about 99 years younger than you.
That's all?
Yes.
That's not much.
Today's lesson, since the Beinoni still has an animal soul, he must realize that he is still Russia-like. And has not reached the level of a tzaddik. And it's only that in actuality he never sins. The Beinoni on his level is serving God fully. Now the Rebbe now goes on to resolve the contradiction and answer the question noted in the opening words of Tanya, of the Tanya. Talmud states that a Jew is charged with an oath to regard himself as wicked, whereas elsewhere the Mishnah declares in Pirkei Avot, be not wicked in your own estimation. Also, it's a contradiction. Also, if a person considers himself wicked, he will be grieved at heart and depressed, and he will not be able to serve God joyfully and with a contented heart. Yet, in as much as the evil in the left part of the heart of the Beinoni's heart is in its native strength, craving after all the pleasures of this world, and it neither so minute as to be nullified before the good of the divine soul, as is in the case of a tzaddik, nor has it been displaced from its position to any degree, but merely lacks authority and power to become diffused throughout the limbs of the body, to cause them to do, speak, or think evil. Nor is the evil's lack of ability attributed to the Beinoni's efforts, for his evil, like that of the Russia, retains its native strength to pervade the entire body. Rather, the evil is powerless merely because of the Holy One, blessed be He, who stands at the right hand of the poor man, helping him and aiding his divine soul, so that it may be able to prevail over the evil. Thus it is only divine intervention that prevents the evil from pervading the body. Essentially, however, the evil of the Beinoni's animal soul is as strong as it was at birth. Only without God's help, the Beinoni would not be able to handle, overcome the animal soul. Therefore, the Beinoni is described as being Kirasha, like a Russia, but not an actual Russia, as in the statement of our sages. Even if the whole world tells you that you are a tzaddik, be in your own eyes like a Russia. V'loy Russia mamish. He should not regard himself as an actual Russia. For the Mishnah admonishes, be not wicked in your own estimation. Moreover, regarding oneself as a Russia hinders one from serving God joyfully. So what should he be? He's not a tzaddik. But he's not a Russia either. He has to be. The Beinoni should never fall asleep at the steering wheel. That means if the Beinoni takes, the tzaddik basically is at a point where he doesn't need the effort to overcome the animal soul, because he's not plagued by the animal soul constantly. But the Beinoni is constantly having to fight. If he leaves go of the steering wheel for 1 second and doesn't put his foot on the pedal and constantly battle himself, he will not win that war, and he will end up falling. So he has to consider himself Russia-like. But he can't be complete Russia, because a Russia is the one that actually follows through and does the negative stuff. he's not doing the negative stuff. So what should he consider himself? Rather, one should consider oneself a Beinoni. And should not believe, in other words, accept the world's opinion, which would have him believe that the evil in him has been nullified by the good. For this is the level of a tzaddik. And the second he believes in himself as a tzaddik, he might be in trouble. Correct. He always says to stay humble. And it says, do not believe in yourself until the day of death. That's what Pirkei Avot says. Any person could be righteous many, many years. There was a story of Rabbi Yochanan, who at 80 years old, he went off the path of righteousness after going into the Holy of Holies as the high priest and being top of the top. He became a tzaduki, a Sadducee. So don't believe in your past. Victories, moral victories, every day to go out there and battle. So Eliyah be'inav ki'ilu malhusi batmusi sholahu betakvei ugorasi b'chol asmali b'chol soldatai. Instead, you should take the view that the essence and core of the evil is in its full native strength and might in the left part of his heart. Le'halach v'chalaf mimenu mu'uma, not having vanished or departed from it at all. On the contrary, with the passage of time, the evil has gained strength because he utilizes it, in other words, the animal soul, considerably in eating and drinking and in other mundane pursuits. As with every faculty, constant use of the animal soul causes it to become even stronger than it was at birth. Right? It becomes stronger. So the Alter Rebbe thus concludes that the words "consider yourself like a Rasha" mean that one must consider himself a Beinoni. The above applies even to those who have reached a lofty spiritual level. They too should consider themselves Beinonim.
So, for anything, the older you are, the more you should be concerned, because you've been using this animal soul for long.
Correct. Animal soul naturally gets stronger, like any other muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. The same thing applies here, that the more we use our animal soul for eating, drinking, and the like, the more it becomes... Vakasha. The more it becomes stronger. So a person's animal soul will get stronger and stronger as they get older in certain way. For should one consider himself a tzaddik and maintain that the evil within him has already been nullified by the good, he will cease to do battle with the evil. If he is mistaken and is not in fact a tzaddik, such an unfounded attitude can cause him to slip drastically from his level, descending even lower than the level of a beinoni to that of a rasha. Till now we have been speaking of a working man who does not have the opportunity to spend all his time in Torah study and divine service. Now the discussion turns to the individual who spends all his time immersed in the study of Torah. What about the scholar? Even if one's entire aspiration is to in God's Torah, which he studies day and night for its own sake, so can this person kind of relax?
No.
The answer is no. This is still no proof whatever that the evil has been dislodged from its place. Perhaps rather, the essence and substance of the evil are in their full strength and might in its abode in the left part of the heart. Except that its garments, namely the thought, speech, and action of the animal soul, are not invested in his brain, mouth, and hands, and other parts of the body to think and to do that which is forbidden. Because God has granted the mind supremacy and dominion over the heart. Therefore, the divine soul in the mind rules over this small city, in other words, over all the parts of the body, making them the body's organs, serve as a garment and vehicle, in other words, as means of expression, garment that is totally subservient to its user, as is a vehicle to its rider. Thus, because of its God-given supremacy, the divine soul is able to use the body's organs as a garment and vehicle. through which its three garments, namely the thought, speech, and action of the Torah's 630 commandments, are expressed clothed. It may be then that with regard to this individual's thinking and speaking words of Torah and performing the mitzvot, the divine soul rules over the body in this area. The divine soul has the upper hand and the animal soul is subservient. But that's only an expression. That's only the software. The applications of the animal soul is of the godly soul has dominated the applications of the animal soul. But the hardware is still there. In other words, the animal soul is still not dislodged. However, in its essence and substance, the divine soul has no preponderance over the essence and substance of the animal soul in the case of a benini.
Preponderance?
Huh?
Say that last part again about the preponderance.
So basically, the essence of the godly soul doesn't dominate the essence of the animal soul. Okay. That's what we're saying. Except at those times when his love for God manifests itself in his heart. On propitious occasions, such as during prayer and the like. Then, as mentioned in the previous chapter, the Benini is aroused to a burning love of God that causes the evil of the animal soul to be nullified before the goodness of the divine soul. So during prayer, he does manage to have an effect on the animal soul itself and kind of puts it to sleep, but he doesn't dislodge it from its place. Even then, during those times when the divine soul gains the upper hand over the animal soul, it is limited to the preponderance and dominion alone. In other words, the divine soul succeeds in dominating the animal soul, not in vanquishing it in the sense of nullifying its essence. Right? It would be like you coming into an enemy state and you have the terrorist cell and you've completely obliterated its ability to be able to work, but it's still there. It's a sleeping cell.
It could come out.
Yeah. If you don't stand guard with the guns and at protect, right. Then all of a sudden it comes back. So it hasn't. Its mission hasn't changed. It's still out to get you, but it's just not able to be active. As it is written of the battle between Jacob and Esau, allegorically representing the war between the good and evil in man's soul, and one nation shall prevail over the other. Jacob, exemplifying the good, merely prevails over Esau, the evil, but does not succeed in totally vanquishing him. This agrees with our sage's comment on this verse. When this one rises and prevails, that one falls. And when that one rises, this one falls. The animal soul, although it had fallen during prayer, is afterwards able to rise and rally once again, indicating that the divine soul has not succeeded in vanquishing it even during prayer, for which reason even its dominance is only temporary. Sure. Thus the divine soul gains strength and ascendancy over the animal soul in the source of strength, Gvurot, which is understanding Bina. In the Kabbalah's description of the Sfirot, Bina is the source of Gvura. Understanding is a source of strength. In terms of one's divine soul, this means that the source of strength, Gvura, to combat the animal soul is found in its faculty of understanding Bina, the faculty with which it understands the greatness of God. Thus, when the divine soul gains strength over the animal soul during prayer, pondering on the greatness of God, the Blessed Ein Sof, and thereby giving birth to intense and flaming love of God in the right part of his heart. And then the divine soul dominates the animal soul with its intense and revealed love of God. The sitra achra, the evil of the animal soul in the left part of the heart, is subjugated. But it is not entirely abolished in the case of the Beinoni. It is only in a tzaddik concerning whom it is said, "My heart is void within me." That's from Psalms. King David, basically, who was a tzaddik, he completely eradicated his animal soul. The boat in the heart, usually occupied by the evil inclination, is void in the heart of a tzaddik. He, the tzaddik, despises and loathes evil with a consummate hatred if he is a complete tzaddik, or without quite such utter hatred if he is an incomplete tzaddik, as explained in chapter 10. All the above applies to the tzaddik. But in a Beinoni, the evil merely lies dormant, as with a sleeping man, for example, who can awaken from his sleep at any time and reactivate its faculties. So is the evil in the Beinoni dormant, as it were, in the left part of the heart, not functioning at all, not even desiring the physical pleasures. During the recital of the Shema Le'Amida, when his heart is aglow with the love of God, causing the evil of the animal soul to be dormant. Therefore, after prayer, it can be reawakened. The Alter Rebbe will now describe an even higher level of Beinoni, one who is permeated throughout the day with the same degree of love for God that he feels during prayer. The animal soul of such a Beinoni is permanently dormant. Accordingly, we will understand how it was possible for Rabba, the great tzaddik Rabba, to classify himself mistakenly as a Beinoni. In chapter 1, it was proven that the term Beinoni cannot be referred as a literal interpretation would lead us to believe to a person that has half of whose deeds are virtuous, good deeds, and half sinful. Were this so, how could such a great sage like Rabba, who never neglected Torah study for even a moment, make the mistake of classifying himself as a Beinoni? However, the Alter Rebbe's definition of Beinoni as one who does not sin in practice does not seem to satisfy this difficulty. Indeed, as the Alter Rebbe explained in chapter 12, a Beinoni ever sins, yet he has sinful desires. Rabba, who was in fact a tzaddik, must have known full well that he was free of such sin desire. How then could he have mistakenly classified himself as a Beinoni? According to the discussion which now follows concerning the level of the Beinoni who never even desires evil, this matter is readily understood. What we're saying over here is that there's a very high level Beinoni who actually never feels a desire to sin. And that is because every day when he davens, the effect of his davening is it's a 24-hour sleeping pill for the animal soul. So the tzaddik doesn't have desires because he has no animal soul. The Beinoni has no desires because his prayer is powerful. So some prayer is so powerful that it puts it to sleep for a whole day. But so that person might feel exactly like a tzaddik. He has no desire for evil. Now we can understand why Rabba considered himself a Beinoni. He felt he was the highest level Beinoni. Therefore, he had no desire for evil, not because he didn't have an animal soul, but out of humility, he said, I'm probably the Beinoni that prays all day, that has the effect of prayer all day. And this, was, of course, was a mistake. It was out of humility he said that, but really he was a tzaddik. But the only way to make sense that Rabba can make that mistake is if we have this level. If the Beinoni has to fight himself constantly, Rabba knew he didn't have to fight himself, and he wouldn't say something that's not true and say that he's a Beinoni if he really was a tzaddik. But now that there's a subtle difference, there's a Beinoni that also doesn't desire anything bad. It's just that by him, it's the effect of davening, whereas the tzaddik actually transformed. So out of humility, Rabba could have said mistakenly that he was a Beinoni. For this reason, Rabbi considered himself a Beinoni, though his mouth never ceased from Torah study. And his desire was in studying Torah, God's Torah day and night, the craving, desire, and longing. His soul yearning for God with overwhelming love, such as that experienced during the recitation of the Shema and the Amida, during prayer, as mentioned above. The Beinoni's heart is aroused in a love of God so passionate that he does not feel the evil of his animal soul at all. Rabba, however, experienced this arousal of love not only during prayer, but throughout the day. Therefore, his animal soul was always dormant, and he never desired mundane matters. It was therefore possible for him to consider himself a Beinoni, for he appeared in his own eyes as a Beinoni who prays all day. In other words, a Beinoni who, throughout the day, retains the level attained during prayer. As the Gemara says in Brachas, as indeed our sages have said, would that a man pray the whole day long? Page 72, the top. See it?
Just beginning.
Halavai, a person should pray the entire day long. Such a Beinoni is constantly ablaze with the love of God, and consequently, his desire for evil is always dormant, as explained. Therefore, the absence of any evil desires did not conclusively prove to Rabba that he was a tzaddik. It was still possible for him to maintain that he was a Beinoni who prays all day long. What emerges from all that has been said is that even during prayer, When the Beinoni succeeds in arousing his love of God and rendering the evil dormant, his divine soul has merely prevailed over his animal soul, but has not vanquished it. For which reason it is possible for this state to cease after prayer. Therefore, the Beinoni's level of divine service is not considered truthful when compared to the service of tzaddik. Of the tzaddik, for truth implies continuity and consistency. Now, the Rebbe goes on to explain that nevertheless, the Beinoni's love relative to his standing is considered a true form of service. Basically, truth is reaching the highest level that you could reach on your level. So for the Beinoni, his love for God is called true. But compared to the tzaddik, who actually vanquishes the animal soul, the love of the God that the Beinoni has is not considered truth, because tzaddik's level of truth means actually decimating, completely vanquishing the animal soul. So he wants to console the Beinoni, saying that he's also considered true, because on his level, where he could reach, he's true, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you say to someone, he tried his hardest, right? For one person, trying his hardest is, lifting 10 pounds, and one person is trying his hardest is 50 pounds. So you have done truthfully your best for the one that can only lift 10 pounds. But for the guy that can lift 50, he hasn't done his best. You know, you ever have two children, one gets 100 on your, one gets a 90, one gets a 70, and you're more proud of the one that got the 70 than the one that got the 90 on the test. Sometimes. Because the one that got the 70 really worked his tail off to get there, and the other got 90, it was natural to him.
Right?
Yeah,
sounds like my wife and me.
Humility. Now, this aforementioned love attained by Beinonim at the time of prayer by virtue of the temporary preponderance of the divine soul over the animal soul, etc. In the Gabas Madregas Madregas at Tzadikim, Ibde Hashem, Amaslamite, in Bechinus Avazoi, Nikra B'Shem Avedes Ke'emes Klal. When compared to the standard of the Tzadikim who serve God in perfect truth, in the truest manner of truth, this love is not called truth service at all. Since it passes and disappears after prayer. It says in Proverbs, where it is written, the language, literally the lip of truth, shall be established forever, but the trunk of falsehood is only momentary. Thus, the term truth refers to something immutable. The temporary and passing are not considered true. The same applies here as well. Since the Beinoni's love of God is felt only during prayer and disappears afterwards, it does not measure up to the truth, truest sense of truth, the perfect truth attained by the tzaddik. I would say even the Beinoni that affects his prayer affects all day, but if he didn't pray the next day, then he wouldn't be effective. So you can see it's not, doesn't stay. Nevertheless, in relation to the rank of the Beinoni, this level of love is regarded as truly perfect service in terms of their level of truth. In other words, the level of the Beinonim. On page 73. Ish kefima degasek b'mendegasa Beinonim, each man relative to his standing in the category of the Beinonim. As mentioned earlier, the rank of the Beinonim is subdivided into many levels. Their love too, which they possess only during prayer, I term the language of truth, which shall be established forever. In other words, their love is true and permanent, though manifest only during prayers.
Why would we be praying all day long? I mean, that's not the purpose why we're brought down here.
Correct.
We have to affect other people.
Right. So what we're saying is,
while you're praying, you're locking yourself up in a cell.
Correct. So what we're saying is, a person that prays all day long by the Beinoni is a person that the love of God that he had during prayer is effective on him all day long. That's what it means. Doesn't mean he's actually praying all day long. It means that
praying time.
Some people's praying time will give them an hour relief of their animal soul after prayer, and some people 2 hours, and some people all day, because he was so powerful, so that it won't allow. I mean, I want to give an example that's a little bit off color, but it's grief. Someone has a, God forbid, a cancer, and they get chemo, and the chemo knocks it down. And then it comes, God forbid, back. But sometimes it can knock it down for a day. Sometimes it can knock it down for a
lifetime.
But again, the tzaddik is the one that completely eradicates it. Beinoni is just knocking it down. That's what's going on. But his love is considered truthful. Let's say his love stops after prayer. At any moment, he could reawaken that love by prayer again, by meditation again. So because he could do that any moment throughout the day, it's considered emes, truth. Emes is something that stays forever. Since their divine soul has the power to reawaken this love constantly, whenever it gathers strength during prayer, day after day, by means of the spiritual preparation appropriate to each soul's quality and rank, the higher the level of the soul, the less preparation it requires to awaken its love of God. Regardless, every soul has the capacity to rouse its love of God during prayer. Right? That's why the Chabad custom is to pray on Shabbat at 10 o'clock. A lot of other shuls pray at 8 o'clock in the morning. Chabad is 10 o'clock because Chabad is very focused on spending time in studying Chassidus before you daven, going to the mikvah. The three preparations for prayer generally. There's mikvah, study of Chassidus, and giving tzedakah. And those three preparations, and some people, and by the more you study and prepare, then your davening can be in a much greater level. The Beinoni's love of God is thus constant, since it is either an active revealed state, or in its potentia, and can be revealed at any moment throughout the day. For as mentioned earlier, every Beinoni has the potential to attain the level of praying the whole day long. I remember when I was in high school, I had a test on this chapter of Tanya. And I had a question on my test. I got all the questions right, I think, besides this particular question about the question was something like, why do we call the Beinoni's love true, even though the Beinoni's love stops after davening? So I answered something to the fact that basically, in my mind, I thought that, like, because he could reawaken it, or something to the effect of, like, he kind of has it going all day. And the truth was no. The correct answer was that if he redid it at any moment, he could have it that moment, and therefore it's considered emes. But I somehow felt like it was actually activated all day. Something like that. I remember arguing with my teacher, trying to get that 100 from, or whatever it was on the test. I misunderstood this Tanya back then. One difficulty yet remains. How is it possible for the same level of service to be considered untrue by the standards of tzaddikim, true with regards to Beinonim? Is truth not absolute? For truth is the attribute of Jacob. As the verse states, you give truth to Jacob, that's a verse in Micah, who is called the middle bolt, which secures everything from end to end, just as the middle bolt in the tabernacle secured and bolted together all the boards by passing through them all. In spiritual terms, this means that the attribute of truth passes from the highest gradations and levels to the end, in other words, lowest of all grades. In each gradation and level, it passes through the central point of that particular level. Page 74, which is, in other words, which they then become the point and quality, in other words, the standard of that level's attribute of truth. Proof is now given that each grade has its own standard of truth, as it were. The attribute of truth is an unbounded inheritance. It has no upper limit as it extends to the highest levels. And all lower gradations and levels are as nothing compared with those superior to them. If then truth is found on all levels despite their disparity, we must conclude that the standard of truth on each level is relative to the core of that level. In support for this, his statement that the lower levels and grades are incomparable to the higher ones, the Alter Rebbe cites, this is Kabbalistic. As is known to the students of the Kabbalah, literally hidden wisdom, the quality that is the head and intellect, the highest level within the lower grades, is inferior to the souls and feet, the very lowest level within the higher grades. Hear that? The top of the lower is lower than the lower of the top. Make sense?
The top of the lower is lower than the lower of the top. Yeah, like one man's ceiling is another man's floor.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The highest millionaire is lower than the lowest billionaire. As our sages say, the feet of the chayat surpass all those levels lower than them, including the highest degrees within the lower levels. The attribute of truth, then, is measured according to the standards of each level. We thus may thus conclude that the divine service of the Beinoni is considered truth. True service relative to their level. Although when compared with the service of Tzaddikim, it is not considered true since it passes after prayer. So basically, being a Beinoni is being perfect with what you could attain. And that's the idea. The Alter Rebbe is consoling the Beinoni. And don't think that it's not truth because you're not that. So what we're saying is, truth is being the reaching the highest level you could possibly reach. And as Reb Zusha once said before he passed away, he was crying. He says, why are you crying? I'm not crying that they're going to ask me in heaven why you weren't like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're going to ask me in heaven why you weren't you like Zusha.
Zusha
was crying because when he go to the next world, he was concerned that they would not, that they're going to ask him if he was like the patriarchs. He was concerned they were going to ask him, why weren't you like Zusha, like yourself? Did you reach your full potential? So we shouldn't be asking ourselves, why am I not like that person? We should ask ourselves, why am I not like myself? Have I reached my potential? And the idea is to go every day, get up and battle, like the Beinoni does. And don't feel bad that every day you have to battle, because that itself is the greatest gift for Hashem, that He sees us fighting the fight. And we will be victorious. So Mashiach will come is when the battle ends. They come immediately now. Amen.